Today we enter into a very great mystery. The mystery of the solemnity of Corpus Christi, of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This day that the church has set aside for us to focus on the reality of the Holy Eucharist, this great gift of Jesus, of himself to us. This is at the very, very core of our faith. And it's really very distressing to read. There have been some published surveys and this sort of thing that show that quite a large majority of Catholics do not believe what the Church teaches about the Holy Eucharist. Do not believe that the bread and wine that are brought forward at the offertory and placed on the altar in the course of the consecration by the power and action of the Holy Spirit through the priest having received the sacrament of holy orders become the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that the bread and wine is destroyed. There is no longer any bread or wine on this altar. There is only the body and blood, not only. There is the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ under the appearance of bread and wine. But it is not bread and wine. It is not a symbol merely. It is not merely a memorial. It is not something, you know, just to sort of make us feel close to Jesus. That is not what the Eucharist is. The Eucharist is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed for us at Calvary. When you are at Mass, you are at Calvary, at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, under the sacramental signs that Jesus Christ himself instituted the night before his suffering in the Last Supper with his apostles, when he instituted this sacrament that we celebrate. If you don't believe that, you may leave now. I'm not kidding. That is so essential to our faith. This is indeed a mystery. By mystery, what the church means is something that is not irrational, not something that contradicts our reason, but which goes beyond the ability of our reason to comprehend it. We had another one of those great ones just last week with the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. Again, a great mystery, something that is not irrational, but which cannot be comprehended by human reason. And therefore, we have to enter into mystery. We have to surrender ourselves to the mystery. And I really do think that's why so many people resist the truth of the Holy Eucharist. Because it involves surrender. You know, in our culture, we're pretty much control freaks. Did you know that? We are control freaks. We like to think that we can control everything. And we just about drive ourselves crazy trying to do it. It's one of the things that made this pandemic, this crazy pandemic that we've been through, so unsettling to so many people, because it just smacked us upside the head with the fact we are not in control. Of course, we are never in control, actually, and therefore it did us a favor in that regard. In that regard, it did us a favor because we are not in control. We have to surrender ourselves to mystery. This great mystery. But when we do, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. What is it that we gain? We gain Jesus Christ himself. That's why we are here. It's why the church has so many, teaches us so many things about the Eucharist and has all those rules that people complain about all the time. Because if you believe that this really is Jesus, if you really believe that, then you're going to act in a certain way. You, for example, are not going to come forward to receive Holy Communion if you're aware of being at enmity with God by having committed a serious sin. It's why the Catholic Church says that only those who really believe, who belong to communions, who believe that Jesus Christ is really present, body and blood, soul and divinity, in the Holy Eucharist, can take the Holy Eucharist. Because it is what ties us together, that unity of faith in the Eucharist. There's nothing that can tie you more closely to another human being than to receive Holy Communion together. Because it unites you in the body of Christ. One of the things that helps us enter into mystery, I think, are these beautiful prayers and poems and hymns of the Mass for Corpus Christi, which were written all by St. Thomas Aquinas, the Church's greatest theologian. There's a long story to that. I won't go into that tonight. And they're very, very beautiful and very profound. The beautiful sequence hymn that was sung, those are the actual words that St. Thomas wrote. He wrote them in Latin. But go and read the translation of it. It's called the Laudation. Or another beautiful one of his hymns, the Adoro Te, I adore you. It's beautiful, but very, very profound. And I think St. Thomas incorporated so much of his teaching on the Eucharist in poetry because it leads us to transcendence. You know, we say things in poetry that we can't quite say in prose, right? Things that are very profound and very sublime. But for those of us who may be a little more prosaic, let me read you a little prose from St. Thomas. A beautiful, this is from the church's liturgy as well. It's from the Office of Readings and the Liturgy of the Hours. And this is from a work by St. Thomas Aquinas on the Feast of Corpus Christi. O precious and wonderful banquet. Since it was the will of God's only begotten Son that men should share in his divinity, he assumed our nature in order that by becoming man, he might make men gods. Did you hear that? He assumed our nature in order that by becoming man, he might make men gods. Moreover, when he took our flesh, he dedicated the whole of its substance to our salvation. He offered his body to God the Father on the altar of the cross as a sacrifice for our reconciliation. He shed his blood for our ransom and purification so that we might be redeemed from our wretched state of bondage and cleansed from all sin. But to ensure that the memory of so great a gift would abide with us forever, he left his body as food and his blood as drink for the faithful to consume in the form of bread and wine. O precious and wonderful banquet that brings us salvation and contains all sweetness. Could anything be of more intrinsic value? Under the old law, it was the flesh of calves and goats that was offered. But here, Christ himself, the true God, is set before us as our food. That what could be more wonderful than this? No other sacrament has greater healing power. Through it, sins are purged away, virtues are increased, and the soul is enriched with an abundance of every spiritual gift. It is offered in the church for the living and for the dead, so that what was instituted for the salvation of all may be for the benefit of all. Yet, in the end, no one can fully express the sweetness of this sacrament, in which spiritual delight is tasted at its very source, that is, Jesus himself, and in which we renew the memory of that surpassing love for us which Christ revealed in his passion. It was to impress the vastness of this love more firmly upon the hearts of the faithful that our Lord instituted this sacrament of the Last Supper, at the Last Supper. As he was on the point of leaving the world to go to the Father, after celebrating the Passover with his disciples, he left it as a perpetual memorial of his passion. It was the fulfillment of ancient figures and the greatest of all his miracles. While for those who were to experience the sorrow of his departure, it was destined to be a unique and abiding consolation. You know, a week or two ago, I told you on Pentecost, I think, that we don't believe in magic as Catholics, you know? We don't believe in magic. But we very much believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is more powerful than any magic. He assumed our nature, that by becoming man, he might make us gods. St. Augustine puts it this way, you know, when you eat normal food, ordinary food, our bodies change that food into ourselves. That food becomes part of you, right? But this food, the food of the Holy Eucharist, as St. Augustine says, changes us into what it is. It changes us into Him. And so I think a lot of times we come to Mass with very low expectations, when God really wants to do very, very great things. He wants to radically change you. He wants to incorporate you into the very body of Christ so that we become divine. We share in the life of God, the fullness of life, everlasting life, that life that through death triumphed over death. This is what is offered to you in the Holy Eucharist. And so let us in this Mass enter into this mystery. No, you can't understand it. I don't either. And I'm very glad I can't. Because if I could, it would be very small. Because my understanding is very small. But because it is a vast mystery, I am drawn into something and have the potential of being something far, far greater than I am. I have the potential of becoming Him. Thank you.